From the shores of Summer Lake in Tigard, Oregon, it's the Portland Tim Beers Podcast, a show featuring two guys who love craft beer and Portland Timbers soccer. And now, here are your hosts, Jason and Gary.
Tim Beers. I'm Jason.
I'm Gary.
We're the Portland Tim Beers. We talk a little about soccer, beer, and pretty much whatever else we want.
Which could be anything.
Boom. So what's going on, buddy?
Not a lot of work. A lot of work.
4-week hiatus. Listeners are probably like, you know what? We've got better things to listen to you two inconsistent bastards. But you know what? We got a lot saved up. Well, we have not been recording and pushing stuff out.
Yes, we have.
We've been prepping, baby.
Ton of prep.
So, let's see. Tiger Town Brewing. What do you think of them?
I hadn't heard of them until you brought them up. Apparently, it's a little tiny place, but pretty fantastic from what I've heard.
Hey, you ever heard of the Painted Hills?
I have.
Out in eastern Oregon.
Supposed to be absolutely beautiful when the flowers are all blooming.
They've got this striped-looking soil that basically is from like years and or centuries or millions of years of stuff that's just kind of built up. And so like one layer is like an ocean, at one point it's like a rainforest, at one point it's like a desert, which it is now. So you get these different color variations in the soil, and so when the sun hits it, it looks like somebody took like watercolor brushes and painted the soil.
Huh?
And within about 10 miles of that place, a little teeny town in Mitchell, Oregon, where I guess the town is Mitchell, Oregon, but a little brewery in the town of Mitchell, Oregon, called Tiger Town Brewing.
Tiger Town.
So took the kid, took the wife, cruised out. Oh, Jewel was with us. The girlfriend was with us. Not my girlfriend, but my son's. And that'd be awkward.
Awkward.
I guess maybe not in some circles.
Yeah,
but
some circles I guess that's acceptable. But
yeah, not my circle.
No.
But yeah, we rolled out to Painted Hills, checked that out, and I'm like, hey, I got an idea. Let's hit up Tiger Town Brewing. So I called them the night before, and they're like, yeah, let's hook up for an interview. So interviewed the guys at Tiger Town, and it is an awesome, awesome story. So we actually recorded the interview in their cool room, which literally is what you and I have talked about. If we were to like make one, styrofoam walls in like a closet with an air conditioner blowing in that's set on a thermostat. And that's the only temperature control they have for this little brewery in Mitchell.
Huh.
So Stout Tanks and Kettles is their maker of their brew set. Of course, we're familiar with them. The listeners should be familiar.
Right.
Tigard's own Stout Tanks. And so sat down with the guys. They were hopping. They were busy. They were busy, busy, busy. But they made time, and so let's play the interview and learn about Tiger Town Brewing.
Cool.
All right, Jason here from the Tim Beers. I am here at Tiger Town Brewing, and we decided to stop in, and they've been gracious enough to offer us an interview chance to look at what's going on here. And with that, I'll let you introduce yourself to the listeners on the show and tell us where Tiger Town's at and what the brewery's about.
All right. My name is Sean Hawkins. I'm owner and brewmaster at Tiger Town Brewing Company, Mitchell, Oregon. We're about 8 miles from the Painted Hills, so we're right on a major tourist route. And with a town of 120, that's what keeps us going.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We rolled into town, went to the Painted Hills. It is chaos over there during, I think this is the first thing people are getting out and about and like, hey, what can we do that's open and fresh air? And then I come over here to Mitchell, which I've been into Mitchell before. I had an ice cream cone down the street.
Sure.
And, but I'm like, holy crap, look at the brewery. The brewery's going crazy. So you guys have been very busy today.
Yeah, it's been really busy. This is our fifth year in business, and it's grown every year, and you know, to the point now where we can barely keep up with it.
No, that's fantastic. So I'm looking here at Stout Tanks and Kettles. I mean, that's where we've had them on the podcast. We buy all of our equipment from Stout Tanks and Kettles there in Tigard. So what made you choose Stout Tanks? Did they come over here and help set up the brew system? Talk to me a little bit about why you chose the system that you've got.
I had they had just been on my radar from being a home brewer. I had always looked at, because they were local. I'm from Portland originally, so you know, I had known about stout tanks and kettles. And then I hooked up with one of the sales guys over there, Mike Palandino, who's a really good guy, and has got me set up with a lot of good stuff. And, you know, we're working on the expansion right now, trying to set up an even bigger system. So they're a good company to work with.
So are you all gas? You electric? Talk to me about a little
bit. We are electric.
Okay.
So, yeah, two-barrel electric brewery. And out here, we'll probably step up to another larger electric brewery because getting, you know, propane, there's obviously no natural gas out here. Right. Just getting resources out here is difficult, but electricity is always available.
Huh, great. So beer-wise, decent beer selection. I believe my wife had the light that you've got on.
Yeah.
And then I've had the milk stout, and I tried the amber. So talk to me about a little bit about beer selection. I know you were a home brewer. Mm-hmm. How did you select the beers that are on the menu? How often do you introduce new beers into the lineup?
Gotcha. Well, we are primarily focused on European-style ales. So I like English and Scottish ales best. That's what I've always liked to brew. So when we started this place, I'm like, you know, there's enough IPAs in the world. There's enough great IPAs in the world. You know, I make an IPA. I make, we have a few different IPAs that we make, but, you know, our specialty is really those English and Scotch ales.
Sweet. Yeah, and certainly I love the milk stout, especially when it's a warm day today. People traditionally don't honor drinking stouts on a warm day, right? I do. I'm one of those guys.
Sure.
I also enjoyed the amber. The amber was fantastic.
Good.
Very good. And my wife's loving that light ale that's out there. So.
Nice.
Do you lager at all? I mean, we're sitting in the brewer shop here, right?
Right.
Traditionally cooled by, like, some sort of cooling system. You've got an air conditioner that's going.
Right.
Right. Have you tried to lager?
I have not lagered as a professional brewer simply because we don't have a glycol system in this tiny place.
Right.
You know, which is one of the things. We have to brew seasonally, so when it gets really hot around here, we start brewing Belgians, you know, Germans, Belgians, things that don't mind the heat. You know, we keep the ambient temperature in the room low, but we don't have full control.
Okay. Right.
So, you know, in the spring, winter, fall, we can really do just about anything. So we try and do most of our brewing then, and then we'll brew our fall, when our German, Belgian beers in the summertime for the fall.
Well, I wondered about the control piece, because I've been here during the summer, and it is a blast furnace. I mean, it is going.
Right.
And so it totally makes sense that you move into the Belgians and the Saison, some of that stuff where it's like, all right, the esters are okay. We're just going to roll with what we've got, right?
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So talk to me a little bit about the business model. So you guys have a food cart type setup for your kitchen out there, it looks like. Traditional bar setup here in the main area, and then a lot of outdoor seating, which is great.
Yeah.
What is the busy time for you? Is it the weekends? Is it the summers?
We pretty much start Memorial Day weekend as kind of the big kickoff.
Okay.
And then it starts to taper out about when school goes back in. So, you know, big through the summer. And then we have the shoulder seasons where we have the hunters. Mm. There's a lot of hunting through here. And then we're pretty quiet throughout the winter. You know, we're open year-round, 363, you know. Take Christmas off, but you know, December, January, February, not a lot. We spend a lot of time looking at each other around here, but we're available for the people that are passing through, and you know, we account for that. Plus, you know, I want to keep my employees working throughout the year,
right?
So, you know, it's like we just prepare for it.
That's sweet. Well, so then I see you do movie nights in the summer start to kick in. Are you guys going to still do that?
I don't. You know, they keep changing what's available. Usually in June, we have our Tegertown Music Festival, and that's not going to happen this year. And the last festival we have is the Painted Hills Festival in September.
Okay.
And that's not able to happen this year. So I'm not sure if we'll fill in with some small gigs or movie nights. It'll depend a lot on what the, you know, social distancing stay-at-home orders do, because if we put music on the stage, I can't guarantee that, you know.
People are going to be spaced appropriately, right? People are rocking and rolling, man. They're not going to be hanging out. So, and then I understand you're a veteran. So did you do any brewing in the service at all? Did you have time to brew?
I didn't. No, I moved out to Mitchell 9 years ago, and I took up brewing because I had been a career musician for about 20 years in Portland. I moved out here. I needed something to do with my time, and I started working as the park ranger at the Painted Hills.
Oh, wow.
So I did that for a few years, and I started homebrewing, and people kept saying, hey, we'd like to buy some beer. I'm like, well, I can't sell you beer, but I can give you beer.
Right.
And I ended up giving away most of what I made. And finally, a buddy that owns this building said, hey, why don't we just put a brewery in there? And, you know, the ball started rolling. And
it's awesome.
Yeah, it was about 7 years ago we started coming up with the idea, and a couple years after that we opened up, and now here we are.
So talk to me about the name. I get the name. So talk to the listeners about the name, how you chose the name.
So Mitchell is a, now it's a cattle town, but before that it was a mining town, a logging town. It was just kind of a rough and tumble town. And it's kind of two parts. We have a large hill where all the houses are, and we call that Piety Hill because that's where the churches and the houses and everything are. Down here on Main Street is where all the bars and brothels stood. And so the nickname for this area was Tiger Town. And it's just something that we resurrected for this place because we felt it was indicative of the pioneer spirit out here.
Yeah, totally. And then the town itself, Mitchell, two varying different stories, as I see on the website, right? So one is the U.S. Senator that was the town is officially named after, in theory, right? So the other is this interesting thing about a wagon making a whiskey run down to what Burns or something, breaks down in this spot, says, you know what? F it. We're going to make a whiskey. We're going to make a bar.
Precisely.
Right.
Precisely.
So.
And we've got an old Mitchell wagon side sitting on our wall up
fantastic.
There. Fantastic. Yeah. that's the more fun story anyway.
Yeah, the lore is fantastic. I love it. I mean, you drive in the town. It's a small town. A lot of people going on. A lot of people outside on a day like this.
Right.
And then the lore of something like that. I'm telling my son, my teenage son about it, and he's like, well, I want to see the wagon. And so I just think it sticks, man. It's a good story. So
yeah, this is still the Wild West, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's out there, right? It's 2 hours out from Bend,
right.
And so good. Well, I really, really appreciate your time. So it's fantastic beers here. So
thank you.
Had a good time getting to know it. I would encourage the listeners to check out Tiger Town here in Mitchell, Oregon. Again, 8 miles from Painted Hills.
Yep.
So it is crazy busy today. So a lot of people out there. Very, very busy here. But again, we had no problems finding a seat. So. Visit Tiger Town, and with that, I appreciate it. Take care, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Huge thanks to Sean from Tiger Town Brewing. Pretty good interview, man.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah, you could hear the cool room kicking on there a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. So, first of all, it's 2 hours out from Bend.
Right.
And I just pulled up a map to take a look at how, if I were to drive to Tiger Town from Tiger, how long would it take me? And it's 4 hours and 1 minute, 225 miles.
Yeah.
So, and you head out to the Dalles and then head south through Fossil and into Mitchell. And I'm telling you, there's like five businesses in this town. The Bed and Breakfast Hotel is up for sale in the middle of town. And it looks like the little town of Radiator Springs in kind of, but with like less buildings. From the Cars movies,
yeah,
that type of thing.
Yeah,
and it's just crazy. Like, and it's off the path. Like, the highway goes past it. You actually have to turn off and Dog Lake off it.
Right.
So you'd miss this place.
Which literally, I think the population they said was 120 people.
And I'm saying that is generous. So, because I think the whole county may have that population. So, I would say there's probably 40 or 50, like within about a 10-mile radius of the place.
Which is mind-boggling that they were able to pull a brewery off.
Well, yeah.
With that population.
It's fascinating. And the three owners, Robert Cannon, Eric, and then Sean there.
Yeah.
Robert and Eric were fifth generation or some generation of Mitchell folks, and they joined the service and took off.
Right.
But one of their dads, if I remember right, owned the bunch of the buildings in town, and the two brothers were like, hey, we got this idea. We should open this brewery, and that's where Sean jumps in, as he's homebrewing beer over at the National Park Service in Painted Hills. And they like, hey, we got this building. Let's try this out. Dude, the place is popping. Like, who would have thought that was going to be, other than these three guys, that would have worked there?
Living the dream, literally.
In 5 years. And they've been going for 5 years, dude. And they're expanding their system.
Yeah, and he says they just keep getting bigger every year. So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So the other thing I found interesting is their temperature control. They know what their weakness is. So
yes.
They're like, yeah, we brew ales because we can't lager.
And the beauty of that is they know the weakness and they played to it.
Absolutely. And so then, not only do they that, they're like, yeah, we know if we don't have beers done by mid-June, the outside ambient temperature is about 100 degrees.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to be able to lager at 60.
Right.
Or not lager, but ferment at 60. So we're just going to make saisons. We're just going to let it do what it needs to do at a higher temperature, and we'll try to keep it beneath 70 or 80.
Yeah.
And we'll have some estery type beers. But that said, our summer beers are going to taste totally different than beers that we made in February.
Right.
And then they also are just brewing beers like crazy all the way through the winter to get through the tour season.
Right.
So I love it. Awesome story. They had a Rauch beer. They also had the Scotch Ale, which was ridiculous. Their Scotch Ale by far was their best beer, I thought.
Well, and that's the one he really loves to brew.
Yeah, and it was so good, man. So, well, check these guys out. Again, massive thanks to Sean Hawkins. Dude is awesome. And Robert, Eric, and Sean, you guys are popping there. Mitchell, again, thanks for your time. I think Gary and I are going to make a road trip out to Eastern Oregon and maybe hit parts of Washington at some point. And maybe we'll have to swing through and check you guys out again so it's not too far off the beaten path.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right, buddy. Well, we started off with a beer from a little road stop I took. On my little part of the vacation, I headed up to Montana and stopped at a bunch of breweries up there. Also connected with some folks that we've been trying to do some interviews with to try to set that up. We'll talk about that. But we started off the podcast by drinking an amber ale from Flathead Lake Brewing.
Yeah.
Have you been to Flathead Lake, dude?
I have. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Amazing place.
It's like the third greatest source of fresh water in the United States.
Right.
It's this massive lake. It's like 40 miles long.
Yeah.
And at the very tippy top, you know what's up there?
Glacier National Park.
And you know what's just to the left of Glacier National?
Hmm.
Whitefish, Montana.
Oh, yes. Great place to ski. Great place to ski.
So we took the train up to Whitefish several years ago, and you jump on in Portland, and you go to bed, and you wake up, and you're in Whitefish.
Yeah, you guys got to ski with the snow ghosts.
That's right, the hoodoos that you do, baby.
Yep.
So I had no idea we were so close, but again, stopped in this town of Big Fork at the top of Flat Lake.
Yep.
Before you peel off and hit Glacier National, and I was so impressed with this beer and the second beer or the third beer we're going to try tonight. But this amber ale is like one of the best amber ales that I think I've ever had. It reminds me a lot of what Full Sail's amber originally was when they like had smaller batching, a little bit more control, I think.
Yeah,
it was less production focused. It's got the caramely notes, it's balanced, it's super, super good.
Yeah, it was a really good beer.
So beautiful, beautiful amber color on it. But again, Flathead Lake Brewing's Amber Ale. Fantastic beer. And then the second one, which is interesting.
Yeah. This is a good light beer.
Yeah, this is a great light beer.
I love this beer.
So this beer is from Big Sky Brewing. And interestingly enough, I had this beer on a paddleboard out in the middle of Frenchtown Pond, which is a little bit past the brewery, but close. This bottle, though, is interesting because this came from the refrigerator of the Airbnb I stayed at.
So
they gave us beer. Interesting story. The pot shop Airbnb. like behind the pot shop. So, but they gave you free beers in the fridge. So I snagged this because I was like, oh, we'll do this on the podcast.
Yeah, great idea.
So this is the Summer Honey Seasonal Ale, and it's an ale brewed with honey and spices. Super light, but man, it's a great beer.
It is delicious.
Yeah. Yes. Again, Big Skies Brewing, Summer Honey, very golden color, very light. Definitely the sweetness of the honey on board.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what we're pulling spice wise. You taste any spices?
You know, I'm not. That's where I'm not picking up a lot at all, which is probably a good thing because I'm not real big on spices in beers. But whatever they used, they used the right combination with the honey to just make it a very, very smooth drinking, very easy drinking beer.
Yeah, maybe getting a little bit of coriander out of it or something, but it, like I said, very subtle. So, but very good beer. So, So we'll talk a little bit about the other breweries that we hit here in a second, but we owe the guys at Thunder Island Brewing explanation why we haven't produced their podcast.
Yeah, we do. Huge explanation.
So we set up right after Memorial Day a road trip out to Thunder Island Brewing and visited their new brewery.
Yes.
And our mascot, Tim, came with us. So, and It was a great time. The guys at Thunder Island were awesome.
Very gracious.
Yeah.
Very gracious guys.
But, yeah, lots of stuff's been happening. So, first of all, the interview went about 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's the total record time that we had.
Yeah. Long interview, but it was an awesome interview. I mean, every bit of it I thought was great.
So, there's a lot of editing that's got to take place. I have not even opened up the damn thing to edit it. And then you've been working, I've been working, but we went on vacation.
And I think the big thing was pretty much right after that, I got smacked with a special assignment for my job that caused some major difficulties in trying to record. I went back-to-back for two straight weeks, so we couldn't record on the Sundays that we wanted to do, or any other day for that matter. So that put a big dent in it.
So, again, big thanks to those guys. Dave Lips out there, owner. You were a gracious host. We, in the next few weeks, will have probably a part one and a part two of that interview. Like a two-part. We haven't really done a two-part ever.
No, and I think this one kind of lends itself to that just because it was a longer interview, but it was a quality longer interview. It wasn't something we have to go in and cut a bunch of stuff out, which is nice.
Yeah, it was massive content. So
yes.
I mean, and everything from trying the award-winning saffron beer to...
the award-winning... I don't know what award that won.
It won the awesome award.
Most likely beer to never be brewed again.
No, it won the Green Apple Award.
Oh, that's right.
How the hell he pulled Green Apple out of that saffron?
Both of them did.
Yeah, I know.
That's what's crazy. I don't know how they pulled that out from under all that floral tone.
Yeah, it's my funeral parlor beer. Come on, man. You can't get Green Apple out of that. So awesome, awesome time at Thunder Island, and we will post that here soon. After some editing, I did listen to the sound quality. It sounds perfect. So, but again, we need to work on that.
Yes.
So, sorry guys, but coming soon. What else? So, what else has been going? You've been brewing, dude?
No.
Why? What's going on with you?
I think it's been brought up a couple times in this episode. My work schedule has literally just crippled me as far as doing anything else but work and sleep. So brewing's not really lent itself to being done, especially with the hours that I've kept. Being able to try and pull off a full brew session it hasn't happened.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about brewing? So I know we talked about in the pre-show that you got your eyes on a recipe. What are you looking at?
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, for some reason I've had my mind stuck that I wanted to do another Kolsch.
Oh.
And then I think more about that, though. And to do the Kolsch that I want to do, I'm going to have to go get the greens. I'm going to have to go get the hops. I'm going to have to get, you know, I'm going to have to get everything. So I'm going to have to go shopping for it. So I was like, you know what? Let's go a little different route. Let's break outside the comfort zone here. Let's do just a one grain malt brew with existing grain that I have and some of the existing hops I have. Then all I have to do is come up with a yeast strain. And I'm thinking, well, hell, let's do a lager. Let's see how that comes out.
That'd be badass. And you. When's the last time you did a lager? Have you done a lager before?
I have. I think it was a year and a half ago. When we did our Oktoberfest beers, I did mine as a lager.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But that's the last time I've done a lager. So It'll be interesting to see how I can pull that off. If I don't burn up my my electronic temperature controller doing one, but...
Yeah, you've been fighting that ETC unit anyway, so this will truly test it out.
And I have a feeling I'm going to fry that thing, trying to keep everything nice and cold on this next brew cycle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially if it starts to heat up or anything. I mean, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what the beer does.
Well, or I'm just talking about, in general, the ETC unit trying to keep things cold if it gets...
Yeah, and I've looked at the weather for probably the next 10 days, and there's really no major hot days. Like 78, I think, is the hottest it's supposed to get.
Huh. Interesting. That'll be good. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about what I'm doing brew-wise, and then talk about a few more breweries in Montana there, stuff that we've tried.
Yeah.
Try a last beer here that we've got sitting here staring at us in the face. And we'll go from there. So we'll be back.
Cool.
Are you ready, quartet? All right, let's go.
Drink to me, darling, not with thine eyes, but with past blue ribbon beer. Cause if you toast me with past blue ribbon, I'll know that your love's
the beer that is splendid is the beer that is blended from 33 fine brews. And if you'll serve me sparkling clear, perhaps your love, dear, I can't refuse.
You can serve it with cold cuts, it's sure to please. Serve it with a dab of tasty nippy cheese. Never food refreshing, it has no flaw. And anywhere they have the beer, the follow it because
I'd run a million laps for a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
All right, we're back. So just poured another beer here.
Yeah.
Send this over to you. So this is from Spider City Brewing. This is from Memorial Day weekend. I had a crowler of this made because it was so fantastic.
It's nice and light.
It is. Well, we were going to try this Imperial Stout, and I'm like, yeah, it's too hot.
Not a good idea.
So Flathead Lake, we'll try your Imperial Stout a different day, probably like the fall. That's what I was waiting for. What did you do that? What's
God
wrong?
Damn.
What do you got? I'm not sure what you got.
Yeah, I got a pucker face going here. God, what do I... I'm trying to think of the beer style that is like drinking salt water.
Gosei.
Yeah, I think you just Gosei'd me. If I'm guessing correct.
Yep, you are. So this is the Kefir Lime Sea Salt Gosei.
You know, I kind of like that. You know, after getting slapped down with the first sip, you go back for more. And I really like the way they did their combination. That lime right up front.
Yep.
And then you get that little bit of saltiness on the back.
Yep.
And it... believe it or not, it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, it's not bad at all, dude.
Which I would have never thought a Gosei would be used in the same sentence as refreshing.
It's nice, salty, lightly salted.
Yeah,
lime.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was well worth it. And I was like, you know what? This is a good one. We'll break
this up. It's almost like biting into one of those lime sea salt chips.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of salt, a little bit of lime on the front. Yeah, no, it's a good beer. So, well, so...
I'll bet that'd be fantastic on the river on a super hot day.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider City, you should think about canning this bad boy. So.
Yes.
Because this is just a crowler. Little 32-ounce baby. So you talked a little bit about what you've got kind of planned for brewing and time being your enemy at this point. But
huge enemy.
You'll conquer that enemy. So I decided to sell my stout tank setup. I have a gas-fired stout tank setup that we've been...
Yeah, how the hell are you going to burn out?
So, and I successfully sold the mash tun.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting ready to repost the brew kettle. I have a 9-gallon brew kettle with the tangential whirlpool on it. So we're going to repost that, try to get that going. And but that said, I found a device or brew system that I wanted to go with.
Yeah.
Because it more or less just saves me space. But I got intrigued with the marketing of this thing. And it's called the Anvil Foundry. And really I caught up with kind of the Nintendo craze of the thing where everybody's lining up trying to get the thing. And I'm like, well, I want to be the guy that lines up and get in line. So by the time I went to go get them, they're sold out.
You're on a wait list.
Yeah, well, I wasn't even on the wait list. I couldn't even get on the wait list.
Damn.
They basically said, nope, we'll let you know when the wait list is going to open.
Holy smokes.
So for a month, I went, like, literally with nothing, just waiting. And yeah. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to brew for a while. And so finally, I got an email last week. I believe it was Thursday morning. Oh, no, I got an email Wednesday that Thursday they were going to do... I might have my timing shirt, but it was last week. They were going to do pre-sales and for delivery in July. So, and it was at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And I'm like, oh, shit. So, 7 o'clock, I get to work, and I'm all fired up. I'm like, all right, logged onto the page, made an account, set myself up, ready to go. And I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm going to add to the cart right now just to make sure they're not messing with me.
System crashed.
Nope. It sure as heck kicked it out. It said, none are available. I'm like, okay, cool. No worries. So 15 minutes later, what I do? Add to cart. Nothing.
Nothing.
So for every 15 minutes, I went back and tried to add to cart.
Yeah.
Guess what? Nothing happened. 9 o'clock, the time the thing's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Add to cart. Nothing.
Oh.
So now I'm like, oh, shit. So every 30 seconds
the
after
panic
9
sets
o'clock.
In.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, well, crap. So every 30 seconds, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart. 9:02, one went to the cart.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I was like, boom.
Score.
Input all my stuff as fast as I can, put the address in, put the credit card in, do the whole thing. I am now officially on the wait list.
Ooh.
And I still don't have a brewer. So, they could come back and say, you know what? Yeah, the boat sunk. You're not getting one.
Yeah, they could say that. Hurricane hits the boat, everything sank, you got nada.
So I think this thing's going to simplify my brewing process. Anybody that's followed my brew journey, started in like the 90s, brewing in carboys with spaghetti pots and or plastic buckets and all that stuff, and then went stainless when Gary went stainless. And I've loved my Stout Tank setup. I looked at an all-electrical system by Stout Tanks, but to do it, it was going to be like $1,500.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, God, I have the Tesla in the garage. I kind of have 220 built in. I need to go 220 and get away from this gas thing. And this Foundry thing popped. And so I'm going to play the ad of what the Foundry is.
The Foundry is an all-in-one brewing system that includes virtually everything you need to brew awesome beer. Our 16-pound grain capacity mash basket provides 150% more filtration area for no-stuck mashes. Wired standard for 120 volt, yet can convert easily to 240 volt. Ultra-low watt density heating with triple heating elements to reduce scorching. Double wall insulation for faster heating and better boil intensity. Rotating racking arm for sediment-free transfers. Increase efficiency and have clearer wort with the optional recirculation pump kit. Permanently stamped level graduations. Linear digital power control. Includes immersion chiller with hoses and fittings. Distillation ready with a Turbo 500 distillation kit, sold separately. For more information, visit anvilbrewing.com.
So did you catch that at the very end?
Yeah, you can make your own hand sanitizer. I love it.
Or lavender essence.
No, keep that shit away from me. I don't want to die.
So, yeah, it's an all-in-one brew system. It's electronically controlled. It goes 220. Can be run off 110 if you want.
Right.
And it's essentially what you have, which is the BIAB, but with a stainless mesh
basket, essentially.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah, it'll be nice. So the only thing it won't do that's different than yours is the heating and cooling that way and the fermentation in the same vessel. But I've got the stout tanks and kettles fermenter, so I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And I like that separate fermenter because it doesn't tie up the
Exactly. You're kind of getting the best of both worlds with that because you can transfer out, do your ferment, and then go right into another brew cycle.
Right.
Where I cannot do that.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see when this thing comes. Our buddies over at Genus Brewing have used the hell out of theirs. So we've been watching them. They've done, of course, several batches within theirs, testing it to the limits.
Yes.
How much grain can it actually do versus what it states it can do. And then also not even using it as a power source, but throwing hot rocks, so kind of a stein beer in it, where they're heating rocks in a fire and making it boil in the anvil. So
right.
Rumors that they've ruined it temporarily by doing that little shamdango. So... But, yeah, so we'll see. By mid-July, hopefully I have this bad boy and
we're can get brewing. A batch going.
Yeah, hopefully by beginning of August I'll be brewing something. So
well, it just won't be something. It'll be the world famous.
Which one?
Well, you got to go with a friggin' Oktoberfest beer.
Yeah, I know. I got to get that going.
Yeah. So,
and that probably, you're right, because in my head I was like, oh, I got to get a tangerine because I have that tangerine pouch.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you want to use the tangerine in something in that single malt that you're going to do?
You know, that might be good, actually.
Tangerine with those Phoenix hops?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. I'll do that. Remind me and we'll pull that out.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, those guys at Oregon Fruit gave me the tangerine and I'm like, I need to do something. But
yeah.
If this thing doesn't come till August.
No, you're going to be kind of hosed. A tangerine Kolsch would have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to try that next summer.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I think the tangerine single malt will be fantastic. So, because it'll have the clean single malt.
Right.
And be able to do that.
Yeah.
So.
That clean, crisp, refreshing, on the river flavor.
But you're right. I'm probably moving into Oktoberfest. And then you know what comes after Oktoberfest?
A Christmas beer.
Abyss.
No, just Christmas beer. I don't want to fall into the abyss.
Yeah, no, we're going to fall into the abyss because I got a bunch left.
No.
So. Tim texted me. His favorite of the two was the Half Widow, Half Abyss.
Really?
That's what I said. I was like, I didn't think that was that good, and I'm going to have to go back and revisit it.
No, yeah. You and I tasted that, and we were like,
Yeah, it wasn't right.
No, something's off.
So
but maybe it mellowed out.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows? Whatever. Well, so one of the small batch things, I guess I could be doing this for a while, but did some small batching we talked about in the last podcast where I took the same cream ale recipe, took four different hop varietals, and boiled during the hop addition essentially a liter and a half of the wort with four different hop varietals.
Right.
So Cascade, Centennial, Mount Hood, and Saint Ian.
So same recipe, same technique, everything's the same except the hop.
Yep, I even boiled them at the same time, so the times are all identical. Fermented them side by side, same yeast, same everything. So
yeah,
bottled those. Those have been sitting for a while. So next episode of the Portland Timbers, we will crack those and try those side by side to see what the different hops taste like.
The next episode of Tim Beers in June of 2021.
Yeah. So the way we're going. So after I bottled those, I was like, hey, you know what? Let's do something slightly different. Let's take that cream ale recipe.
Yeah.
Do the cream ale recipe, but do 4 liters with the same hop. So I picked, I believe, a Cascade hop. And the only difference now is that I used 4 different yeast strains.
Oh, boy.
So I have a wheat yeast strain.
Yeah.
So it's a German wheat. I have a English ale. I have a... I'm testing my memory. I have... I have a Saison yeast strain. And then I had a standard, like, American ale, California ale type yeast strain.
Yeah.
So we're going to see what they are. No, I take that back. I didn't have a Saison. I had a Belgian, like a monastery type ale.
Okay,
yeast.
Like an abbey?
Yeah, like an abbey.
Yeah.
So, and I tell you, the abbey was, when I went to bottle, the abbey was like funked. I was like, funky. I was like, yep, that's abbey. And the only difference there, same recipe, they did their thing, cleaning was the same, everything was perfect.
Yeah.
Was that yeast. And the abbey is true to form, an abbey ale. So
Does its weird, funky thing.
The American ale, crystal clear.
Yeah.
Like, everything else was clouded. Like, the Hef was clouded. The abbey was clouded.
Yeah.
The English was high flock. It was, like, totally clouded. The American, crystal clear.
Nice.
Yep. And then everything else smelled roughly the same, but yeah, that Abbey one was woo. So we've got those sitting. They'll be ready in a couple weeks. Then we'll try those on a side by side.
Cool.
And then I got to think about, all right, how I'm going to take that cream ale and how do we make it different next time?
Well, now, has it been the same cream ale recipe for both experiments?
Yep.
So that'll be interesting, because then you can see, one, which hop varietal do you like the best? And then on the second round, what yeast strain do I like the best?
With that hop varietal. So
with
really,
that hop varietal.
Really, you could do three other hop varietals.
Yeah.
With four yeast strains.
Yeah, yeah. Just to find out which one of those hop varietals goes best with what hop or what yeast strains.
Yeah, yeah. So that might be something to toy with while I'm waiting for that Anvil Foundry to come.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So the other thing about Anvil is the Anvil Foundry stuff is made by Blickman, and Blickman's known for, again, producing high-quality stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So the next obvious question is why I didn't go with stout tanks. We kind of addressed that. Again, the price was just too high. They couldn't compete, and I talked to Tyler a couple times over there at Stout Tanks, and it's just didn't seem, for the amount of money, Blickman and Foundry just offered more, and I wasn't willing to shell out a couple thousand dollars for something.
Right.
And then again, all the pizzazz is on this Foundry, so I certainly got caught up on this Nintendo Wii phase of, oh shit, I gotta have one. So we'll see. I pushed my chips to the center of the table because I don't have a mash tun, and I soon won't have a brew kettle.
So. No, exactly. You're kind of stuck in, you're in limbo right now.
I'm in 1 gallon batch limbo. But it's kind of fun because I'm getting to experiment and do some stuff I haven't done for a long time.
Yeah, and I think you'll be able to dial your batches in, too, to what exactly it is you want to brew, and be able to control those factors a little more with just your little 1 gallon batches versus trying to do a 5 gallon batch and try that same experiment.
Well, that was the question somebody asked.
It would take so much longer.
How easy is it going to be to scale back up those 1 gallon recipes?
I think with the software that's out there today, it's really not going to be that big of a challenge.
Right, and that's what I said. I'm like, what they didn't have when I was 20 years ago, they didn't have the software.
Yeah, 20 years ago, then it might be a little more challenging.
Right, but it should be pretty easy to scale that stuff back up.
Well, the software now, you can probably dial that in damn near to the exact same beer.
That's what I think. So, yeah, we'll see how this shakes out, and we'll, again, next episode, either do a 4Z or do a do's an 80.
Yeah.
Do 8 beers side by side.
Whoo.
They're just little bad boys.
I'm going to have like a 4-day off thing to pull that off.
No, we're going to do one day when you've got to be at work at 7 a.m. Because yeah. That's what I've got to do, baby.
Screw that.
No, I know. So. All right. Well, we've covered quite a bit of territory, dude.
We have.
So, talked a little bit about Tiger Town Brewing, and a huge thanks to those guys out there for the interview, the beers, and all that good stuff.
Yep.
Dave Lips, Thunder Island, we got a...
Thunder Island, we got to get your stuff processed and out there.
Two-part series coming at you soon.
It's huge.
But I got to tell you, check those guys out, man. We went to their original location down on the water on Cascade Locks.
Yeah.
Had a burger and some beers, and freaking phenomenal, man.
You know, that location is pretty cool, but I think their new location is going to be really phenomenal, especially with the rooftop seated.
Yep, totally.
It's going to be amazing.
Yep. And so you'll hear about that. I believe we actually got some interview up on that rooftop.
We did. So. Yeah.
And then talked a little bit about the trip to Montana, visited No Lee Brewing, Big Sky Brewing, Tamarack Brewing, Flathead Brewing, Lolo Peak Brewing, And then also hung out with the guys over Genus Brewing and saw Peter out there. We've been trying to do an episode with those guys. Thanks for providing me some samples of some great funked up beers over there. But yeah, we need to get the guys from Genus on and kind of talk about what's going on and in their land. They've got a pretty big shift when they went from a small original location where they were doing homebrew stuff to
this major,
this beautiful building now, which is a brewery and just a few homebrew items inside. So we'll talk about that business model, hopefully, with Peter and those guys. And then I also decided that we need a road trip to Spokane because Spokane is badass from when I was there last.
Really?
Yeah. Well, so I was in the Air Force in Spokane.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was one beer place called The Viking. And The Viking was like a trailer in the middle of downtown Spokane that served like 70 taps of beer, some ungodly thing. Most of it was like Stroh's and Pabst and all this crap.
Yeah.
So, but you could go there and get a good pint of beer. But there was no real craft beer brewery. You'd go to Jim's Homebrew Shop in northern Spokane, and that's where I got my first ingredients I brewed on the base. But outside of that, that was the only real exposure to homebrewing or craft beer that you had. Well, you go there now, and there's like 40 breweries in Spokane or in the surrounding area. It's like
crazy.
Ridiculous. So, and we'll go out there and hang out with those guys, maybe do a collab batch or something. Maybe they'll maybe hang out with us and do that. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Maybe we could do something crazy, like brew on the Spokane River on a boat, brew dog style.
Four paddle boards tied together.
There you go. See? There we go. We'll throw that out to you, Peter. See if we can make that happen. So anyways, big thanks to Noli. Great beers there in Spokane. Check them out. They were small brewer of the year in 2015. Big Sky Brewing, awesome beers. Tamarack, good beers as well. And Flathead Lake Brewing, we'll try your Imperial Stout on one of the next episodes. But with that, I think that's all we got, buddy. Hopefully we're back here in a couple weeks. You got anything else to add?
I got nothing.
Tim Beers.
Thanks for listening to the Portland Tim Beers Podcast. Be sure to visit the Portland Tim Beers Podcast on acast.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you love the Tim Beers Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes. Until next time, Tim Beers.